On choices. Peer pressure is a thing that every child goes through, but you have to remember that to yourself, you must be true. Know that there are times to follow and there are times to lead. Do what you think is right. Do things at your own speed. Don't worry about what others think. Don't worry about being cool. Focus on friendships and the grades you get in school. Jamie Shapiro, 12.
Two Tickets to the Big Game by J. Styron Mazden. Two tickets, only two tickets to the big quarterfinals basketball game. Three pairs of eyes all focused on the tickets in Dad's outstretched hand. Marcus, the oldest, spoke the question running through everyone's mind. Only two tickets? But Dad, which one of us gets to go with you?
Yeah, Daddy, who gets to go? Repeated Caleb, the youngest.
Dad, can't you get any more tickets? I asked. I might be the in-between sister, but I was just as eager as my basketball-crazy brothers were for a night out with Dad. I'm afraid not, Dad answered. Mr. Williams only has two season tickets. He was thoughtful enough to offer tickets to Saturday's game to me when he found out he'd be out of town this weekend. Dad scratched his head. Caleb, don't you think you're a little young to enjoy a professional basketball game?
Am not,
Caleb insisted. I know all the best shooters. I know the team's record. I know...
All right, Dad finally had to agree. He shifted his focus and tried again.
Jill, since you're a girl... Before I could respond, Mom came to my defense.
Don't you dare say because you're a girl, she said to Dad.
Jill's out there practicing at the hoop with Marcus and all of his friends, and she's better than quite a few of them, too.
Okay, Dad held up his hands in a timeout signal. I guess I'll have to figure out a fair way of choosing between the three of you by tomorrow morning. I'll have to decide who deserves it most.
Let me sleep on it, okay, guys? And girls, he added quickly before Mom and I could correct him. The next morning, Marcus hurried into the kitchen and plopped down at the breakfast table. Where's Dad? He asked as he reached for a box of cereal.
And good morning to you, too, I responded between sips of orange juice.
Sorry, but you can guess what I was dreaming about all last night, Marcus explained.
So, where is he?
He and Mom went to pick up some books from the library, Caleb answered, digging his spoon into a mound of cereal.
And he said we should all get started on our Saturday chores as soon as we finish breakfast, I added.
Chores?
He's gotta be kidding, Marcus said as he set down his glass of milk with a thud.
How can we concentrate on chores when the big game is a mere 11 hours away?
Parents, they just don't understand, I agreed, popping the last piece of English muffin into my mouth.
I'm going for the morning newspaper, Marcus announced. There's probably a preview of tonight's game in the sports section.
Wait for me, Caleb added, slurping the last of his milk and dashing after his brother. The back door snapped shut and the two boys trotted down the driveway. I looked at the breakfast table in front of me, tiny puddles of milk, bits of soggy cereal here and there, and a small glob of grape jelly melting in the morning sunlight.
Well, I thought to myself as I pushed my chair away from the table, looks like Saturday morning chores start right here. A few minutes later, as I was washing off the kitchen countertops, I heard the familiar thump, thump, thump of the basketball bouncing off the driveway. I glanced out of the kitchen window and saw Marcus practicing his hook shot while Caleb cheered him on. Frustrated, I knocked on the window three times. When the boys looked up, I meaningfully held up a kitchen sponge and dish towel. Marcus casually nodded to me and held up five fingers. Taking his cue from his older brother, Caleb did the same.
Sure. Five more minutes, I thought to myself. I'll just bet.
I opened the lower cabinet and tossed an empty muffin package into the almost full wastebasket. I reached for the twister to tie up the plastic liner bag and carted it out to the garbage container outside the back door.
He dribbles. He shoots. If I make this next shot, I get the tickets to tonight's game, Marcus teased as he shot for the hoop.
Hooray! 2 points, and I get the ticket.
Do not,
Caleb shouted.
You guys, Mom and Dad will be back any minute,
I reminded them as I lifted the lid on the garbage container and placed the full plastic bag inside.
Okay, we're coming to help, Marcus said, dribbling the basketball around and around Caleb, who tried again and again to steal it.
Just one more minute.
Yeah, just one more minute, Caleb added as he finally managed to tip the ball out of his brother's grasp.
I shook my head from side to side as I began to replace the lid in the garbage container. Then a flash of white on the inside of the heavy black plastic lid caught my attention. A white envelope. It must have stuck to the lid by accident. But then I noticed the envelope was actually taped to the inside of the lid.
And someone had written the word congratulations on the front of the envelope, too. I lifted the flap on the envelope and pulled out a folded piece of paper. "To the one who deserves to go," the paper read, and inside was a ticket to the basketball game. "I don't believe it," I thought. "I'm the one that gets to go. But how did Dad know?" Then I thought back to Dad's comment last night. "I'll have to decide who deserves it most." I smiled. Leave it to Dad to figure out who the most deserving kid really was. By now, Marcus and Caleb had worn themselves out. They shuffled toward the back door. "Come on, little brother. We'd better get started on our chores if we want to have a chance at getting that ticket to the game." I turned in their direction and held up the ticket, the note, and the envelope. "It might be a little too late for that," I said with a sly grin. Marcus and Caleb looked at each other with question marks in their eyes as Mom and Dad's car pulled into the driveway. That evening turned out to be as special as I'd imagined. Two seats at center court, a dad and his daughter cheering their team to victory. It was a long-remembered lesson in responsibility from a dad who let his kids make their own choices and earn their own rewards.
A Chicken Noodle Soup Day by Donna Beveridge. "I think I should stay home from school today, Mom. I'm sick, really I am. I don't believe my 15-year-old sister for a minute. She hates school. This is just another one of her excuses to stay home. Again. Mom isn't as sure as I am. She's a working mom who struggles with guilt for not being home for us. She gives Sandy the benefit of the doubt. Again. You can stay home, she says, but you have to stay in bed, and I want you to eat chicken noodle soup for lunch. We always eat canned chicken noodle soup when we're sick. It's the only time either of us likes it." Mom feels Sandy's forehead as she kisses her goodbye. "You don't feel warm," she says. "Are you sure you need to stay home?" My dramatic sister lays one hand across her forehead. "I feel dizzy," she says, "and my head hurts. I must have that bug that's going around." Mom reluctantly leaves for work. "I'll call you later, dear," she says as she closes the door. "I have to catch the bus for school. Enjoy your day, sister dear," I haul over my shoulder, "and get well." Sandy waves to me from the kitchen window and grins. She tries her best to look pathetic when I come home from school, loaded down with homework. I hear her scurry into the bedroom we share as I open the door. "Mom will be home soon. You better get your act together," I warn. Sandy peers at me through drooping eyes. "I'm feeling a bit better," she sighs. "Then why are you still in bed?" "Paying my dues for a day off," she replies. "Well, save it for Mom," I say. "You're gonna need it. I need a snack. What's in the cupboard?" "Well, I found some donuts, and there's popcorn, and Mom hid a package of candy bars on the top shelf." "Got ya, you little faker. Wait until Mom comes home. This was a chicken noodle soup day, remember?" "Aw, she'll never know. Famous last words." When Mom comes home, I'm at my desk doing homework. I open the door a crack so I won't miss anything. Sandy is on the couch, pressing a cool washcloth to her forehead. "How are you feeling tonight?" Mom begins, in a tone of proper concern. "Better," Sandy says, with only an edge of brightness to her voice. "I think I can go to school tomorrow." "Smart move, sister," I think. "Chicken noodle soup must have made you better," Mom says. "Did it taste good to you?" "Soup always tastes good when I'm sick," Sandy says sweetly. "Liar," I think. "Watch out. You've become an unsuspecting prey." "Well, dear," Mom says, "you just lie there while I get supper. I don't want you to overexert yourself. Are you up to eating your favorite pizza?" "Probably not, I think, after a day of junk food." Sandy manages to say, "I think I could eat a little." Mom rattles around in the kitchen, stretching pizza dough and filling it with our favorite toppings. I hear her open the trash can. I know what's coming next. "I think I'll stay right here in my room." "Sandy, I don't see your soup can in the trash. Where is it?" "If I were you, sister, I'd confess now. Otherwise, you're done for." But my cornered sister attempts a getaway move. "I pushed the can to the bottom so I wouldn't smell the chicken. It was upsetting my stomach." "That's a good one, I have to admit. But Mom's not buying it." "Poor dear," clucks my predator mother. "I'll get rid of it for you." "That's okay, Mom. I'm feeling better now. Why don't I empty the trash while you get dinner?" "No need, dear. Just relax." I hear a clatter of cans and bottles in the kitchen. "Oops," says Mom. "I dropped the trash." I could help her clean up, but I think I'll stay here and begin my essay for English class. I have my topic, thanks to Sandy. I think I'll call it, "What a Tangled Web We Weave." Mom's voice remains calm and pleasant. Too pleasant. "That's strange, Sandy. I can't find the chicken noodle soup can anywhere." There is a long silence. Sandy makes one last attempt to get out of the trap, but she is definitely the weaker one in this predator-prey game. I forgot, Mom. I put the can in the bag on the porch. I know that there are at least 4 bags on the porch, all tied up, waiting for trash day. Just as I know that Mom and Sandy will play this game to the death. I finished a draft about the complications of lying by the time Mom calls me to dinner. We sit at the table in silence. 4 bags of trash are strewn on the floor. Mom and I eat pizza, made just the way I like it, and drink soda. There's a special treat in the oven for dessert. In front of Sandy sits one solitary mug of chicken noodle soup.
A Silent Voice by David R. Collins. The situation seemed hopeless. From the first day I entered my junior high classroom, Willard P. Franklin existed in his own world, shutting out his classmates and me, his teacher. My attempts at establishing a friendly relationship with him were met with complete indifference. Even a good morning Willard received only an inaudible grunt. I could see that his classmates fared no better. Willard was strictly a loner who seemed to have no desire or need to break his barrier of silence. Shortly after the Thanksgiving holidays, we received word of an annual Christmas collection of money for the less fortunate people in our school district. Christmas is a season of giving, I told my students. There are a few students in a school who might not have a happy holiday season. By contributing to our Christmas collection, you'll help buy food, clothing, and toys for these needy people. We start the collection tomorrow. When I called for the contribution the next day, I discovered that almost everyone had forgotten, except for Willard P. Franklin. The boy dug deep into his pockets as he strolled up to my desk. Carefully, he dropped 2 quarters into the small container. I don't need no milk for lunch, he mumbled. For a moment, just a moment, he smiled. Then he turned and walked back to his desk. That night after school, I took our meager contribution to the school principal. I couldn't help sharing the incident that had taken place. I may be wrong, but I believe Willard might be getting ready to become part of the world around him, I told the principal. Yes, I believe it sounds hopeful, he nodded. And I have a hunch we might do well to have him share a bit of his world with us. I just received a list of the poor families in our school who most need help through the Christmas collection. Here, take a look at it. As I gazed down to read, I discovered Willard P. Franklin and his family were the top names on the list.